Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. Episode 376, your game preview show. I am your dashing host, Chris, for the official Detroit Lions podcast Reddit. And with me is one of my favorites from Detroit, one of the most intelligent, wonderful on-air voices casting across the fruited plain of the city of Detroit, Tony T.O. Ortiz. How you doing, my man? Good to see you.
I'm doing good. I should be mad at you, though, because now I suddenly have a taste for ice cream. Long story, we'll explain later.
I'm sorry for doing that. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this. We've got a Lions-Brown preview. I think I remember how to do it, Tony. You'll carry me if I don't, right? You know what we're doing.
I've got your back.
We'll really quick hit on the St. Jude Christmas for the kids. Just got a super chat going on from Floundericious. He's offering up a $250 match for this entirety of this show, plus nice. A bonus $100 if we tie the $250 match. So all we have to do is raise $250, folks. That makes us like $600. That's getting bang for your buck. Tax deductible. All right, we'll talk about the injury report. We have some game predictions. We've got the Vegas odds and a whole lot more. Floundericious, thank you for the match. And T.O., great show lined up. Are you ready to go, my man?
I'm ready.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, so let's do this. Now, how do you get that match action from Flounder? It's just Flounder, thanks, man. I really appreciate you doing that. You are really the true MVP, as Nick says in the chat. Go to stjude.org/DLP. stjude.org/DLP. As you can see in the screen there, we're at $28,589. It's 69 cents, of course, raised so far to bring Christmas to the kids. There was someone that was fighting that, and the crew fought on and brought it back every time back good. To 69. So I don't know what it means. It's something about us and our audience. I don't know. It's, you know, no matter rain or shine, someone's getting wet on this show. All right. Let's talk about the Lions and the Browns. I've got some meta information about the game. Let's get into that. These teams, this actually surprised me, Tony, because these teams have been around for ages.
Yes.
They've only met 24 times.
Really?
Yeah. And in all of history, and a lot of that was in the 50s. I couldn't believe how few it was. But as I went through the data and got this, this is one of the most fun little research reports I've done on the Lions metadata on their matchups for the week. So indulge me a little bit as we go through this.
Help yourself.
Four times these teams have met in the postseason in their history. And the last time they met was 2017.
Okay.
The Lions lead the series. This is the first of all the series we've covered. The Lions lead. And they don't just lead it. 19 wins and 5 losses against the Browns in those 24 games. Smoke it up. Lions have won the last 4, 7 out of the last 10. They have never tied. And the first time they played was in 1952. Where the Lions took it 17-6. Interesting. And the total points scored, this is another one. The Browns have scored 453 points in those 24 games. The Lions, 620, with a gap of 6.95 points per game. It's like a touchdown a game.
Wow.
It's crazy. I love this.
I know. These numbers are incredible because it's like you didn't expect this with the Browns. And it's like the Lions have been dominant against the Browns.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which means they'll get crushed Sunday. But what the hell? It was a good start. Oh, you know,
you're going right to the end of the show, huh?
No.
Lions have beat the Browns in three out of four meetings for the NFL championship. Big Dom, thank you, sir, for the $5 to St. Jude. Three out of four times the Lions have beaten the Browns. In 1952, 53, and 57 they won, and they lost in 54.
Think about this, Chris, if you want to go upside down, what if, whatever. In the 50s, teams in the NFL were saying, why can't we be more like the Lions or the Browns? Because they were the dominant teams in the 50s. And like you said, they met three times in the championship game. That's just wild to me to think that teams were patterning themselves after the Lions and after the Browns, two of the most tortured fan bases in history.
Recent history, yeah. I mean, Why can't we be like the Lions?
Oof. Exactly.
Oof. I mean, if we throw back to your day, Tony, we could talk about Otto Graham and probably one of the greatest. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I mean, I meant to tease you, but you're not nearly that old. I mean, you're about my age. Thank you. Otto Graham, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, right? What a guy. If you guys haven't, just there's some YouTube footage of him playing. It's pretty incredible. Yes. It really is something to see. Thinking back, the biggest memory, it was interesting because when I got to this point, I'm like, gosh, they haven't played all that much. And what do I? And there's the one memory, and I know you know what it is. Matthew Stafford's rookie season. Yep. Dislocated shoulder. One of the most, like, it can bring a tear to your eye watching that today. The NFL Network, and I forget who the host was. So he just stands aside and says, "Let the sounds of the game carry it." And it's like 5 minutes of the last 2 minutes of a game, and it's about 5 or 6 minutes of audio. But watching him go out there and line a hand and then the whole thing when that shoulder gets dislocated and Matthew Stafford, what an absolute warrior. What a warrior, man.
That is the one that stands out to me. There's another that stands out to me, and for a much different reason. The first game of the Matt Millen / Marty Morningweg era was a game in Cleveland against the Browns. They started Ty Detmer over Charlie Batch, and I think you remember what happened in that game. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Seven picks.
So
all I remember was watching Charlie Batch walk off the field, like shaking his head, like I could have been in the game at any time.
I've been here. Gosh, the Charlie Batch years were crazy years in Lions history. I remember when Joey, he'd have a bad quarter or a bad first series, and the stands just would start chanting for. Well, he was Eastern Michigan product, wasn't he? Eastern Michigan Charlie Batch. And they just kept chanting for him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? What are we as a fan base?
It was crazy. It was either first it was the chant for Charlie Batch, and then, which made it even better, at some point there was the chant for Mike McMahon.
Yes.
Random Lions quarterbacks for 100, Alex. Mike McMahon.
Never a chant for Chuck Long, though.
No. No. Sorry. No.
Andre Ware?
No. Yeah, actually, there used to be a chance for Andre Ware.
Until he saw the field. The chance for get him out.
Wow. Wow. Now, in Andre Ware's defense, he's a pretty good color analyst for ESPN. Absolutely. And for the Houston Texans radio network. He's outstanding. Yeah. But the Detroit years were kind of rough.
We have a way of doing that to people, right? I mean, if you think about Jared Goff, he's had a pretty illustrious career up to this point. He's had his ups and downs, but I mean, he's been in more Super Bowls than Lions fans team have, right?
You're correct. You are absolutely correct.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. All right. So there's the Lions meta. The Lions against the Browns, kind of looking ahead to the game. Let's get right into our Diamond CBD. What do we call it? The injury report. That's what they call those things. And Diamond CBD, go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Hook yourself up. Pain, anxiety, and insomnia. You can find some good relief there. The creams are awesome if you're working out or you have sore muscles or whatever. They work on them just great, do a great job for you. The regular CBD is out there. Then also they have the Delta 8 or they have the amazing active CBD, which is legal in all 50 states. If you want a little bit of extra kind of Friday night fun in your head, a little buzz going on, that's the stuff for you. Head on over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com, and I'm telling you, that stuff will take care of all kinds of things that you have going on. I since I've been working out, I've been living on that CBD cream, and it just I feel so much better. The recovery is good. So much faster. All right. Injury report, not CBD. That's what we're talking about. Let's see. The Lions list is interesting. Long.
And it's interesting because there's a couple of names on the list in the out/doubtful section that we need to talk about.
So let's go through it. First, Trey Flowers out, didn't practice all week with a knee injury. That's an interesting. Trey's such an enigma to me. He came back last week. He came back into the game.
And played well.
Yeah. I didn't expect this to come, you know, be persistent like this. I should have probably.
Right. That's the one to me. That there's another one that's even bigger, but we'll get to that one. But the Trey Flowers one is big to me just simply because they're going to need to put pressure on Baker Mayfield, and they're going to need all of their defensive end slash linebackers to be up there to put pressure on that Browns running game, which is pretty good. And to not have Trey Flowers there with his veteran presence, that's going to be an issue for the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Next one, a guy that this is so Lions. I hate it. Jamar Jefferson didn't practice all week. He's out. I know that it looked like an ankle. I mean, he obviously was in pain. I just didn't see how it got like it was. He fell strange, but I just didn't see the actual what did it. And of course it's on, you know, he comes out, has an amazing play. It's like, oh my gosh, we found a guy, you know, without Tyrell Williams, we've got this guy here. He's stepping in. He's the guy that's going to carry us with those runs up the middle. He's going to be able to do so much for us. Watched him at training camp this year, just driving that little sled, that little 3-inch off the ground sled, 50 yards out, 50 yards back, just killing himself. And it was great to see him like get out there and this payoff and then immediately go out. And he is out for the game. No practice all week. That hurts. That one hurts. Matt Nelson, tackle, ankle, did not practice. He had limited practice on Thursday, then didn't practice today. He's ruled out.
That's important for depth purposes simply because now you've got, well, Taylor Decker, if he does play, is the left tackle. Penei Sewell's the right tackle. So if, for some reason, Decker doesn't play, and we'll get to that in a moment, and they shift Sewell back to left tackle, now the question becomes who steps in at right tackle since you're not going to have your starting right tackle or the guy who's your backup right tackle in Matt Nelson.
Right, right. A lot of dancing around out there. Jared Goff is listed with his oblique still, did not practice all week and is doubtful. I don't even know why they listed him as doubtful, right? He's
not going to play.
He's out, yeah.
He didn't practice all week, and nine times out of 10, NFL coaches, Chris, will not play a guy that has not practiced all week. There are exceptions. Aaron Rodgers last week practiced or didn't practice, but he played for Green Bay.
Right.
But again, let me make this perfectly clear before anybody writes you. I'm not comparing Jared Goff to Aaron Rodgers. I'm just saying there are certain quarterbacks, certain players that coaches have confidence in that if they don't practice, they will play. I don't think that's going to be the case with Jared Goff, which means the Tim Boyle era is about to begin. And by the way, his nickname, from some people that I've seen on social media, TB12.
Yeah.
Ed, no. No.
Tomorrow's headline, front page Detroit News, Tony Ortiz compares Jared Goff and Aaron Rodgers.
Probably.
Yeah, that's not TB12, but, you know, there is such a thing as Boyle's Law. And the, you know, the gas expands to fill the space of the container. The greatness of Tim Boyle is about to expand to fill the greatness of 60 minutes of Lions football.
Hey, listen, I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. There is one thing that does work for me in Tim Boyle's favor, which is the fact that he was the backup to Aaron Rodgers. He did spend some time in Green Bay. So at least he got a chance to see a guy like Aaron Rodgers prepare for an NFL game. And look, he did have some time with the Lions last year. I'm convinced Tim Boyle will be an interesting guy to watch.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree. He's going to be – it's interesting in that Blau isn't playing because I thought Blau was number two behind him, and now that's not the case, and I can't explain that.
I can't either. And no one seems to have an explanation to why David Blau suddenly dropped from number two on the depth chart to number three behind both now Goff and Tim Boyle. That's an interesting – it's an interesting question that I would hope somebody can answer – this week, next week, why David Blau has suddenly dropped down. And keep this in mind as well, Chris. With Goff out Sunday, there's a pretty good bet that he's not going to play on Thanksgiving Day against the Chicago Bears either. I don't know if you get a turnaround that fast with an injury like an oblique where you can not play on Sunday but turn around and play 3-4 days later on Thursday. So there's a good chance we get back-to-back Boyle. That sounded really awful.
Thank you.
Got boils on the back, and Goff can't turn around. What an oblique reference. All right. That's terrible. Yeah, no, and that's interesting. The Blau, they're not saving him, right? They're not developing him. No. I don't think this looks good for him in the long term as a backup or a role. And after the love they gave him early in the training mm-hmm. camp with his wife running in the Olympics, and everyone came in and supported him and watched it, this is just an odd turn. Very, very odd turn. We'll have to see what's going on with the Palace intrigue there.
Although I will say this much, that's a good step for Tim Boyle, because that almost pretty much signals that he's probably going to come back and be in the mix to back up Jared Goff next year, assuming Jared Goff returns in 2022 as the Lions quarterback, which I think is going to happen.
Really? I now have a question mark over that, actually.
Okay.
It's interesting. I don't know that he'll be back next year. We can talk about that more.
I don't, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. Trinity Benson, he limited practice on Friday. He's questionable. Mm-hmm. It was a late in the season. He practiced on Wednesday and Thursday, so something tweaked probably on Thursday. Right. We'll see how he shows up. Taylor Decker didn't practice on Thursday. Limited practice on Friday. He practiced all day Wednesday. He did a shoulder. Well, it was his shoulder, right? Or his elbow?
Elbow,
yeah. Either one. You can't put it in your ear. He dinged that up in practice, and so he's questionable as well. Tracy Walker. This is a guy I hate... the fencing response, right? Immediately after that hit, he was on the ground with the hands up, doing the, I hate that. It's just kind of just puts a knot in your stomach when you see it. To see him up, he had full practice on Friday today. So it's, as long as there's ongoing symptoms tomorrow, he's going to be good to play. So they have him as questionable. Jamal Williams, limited practice. They have him as questionable. I have a feeling if he can go at all with Jamar out, that they're gonna have him out there. And then the rest of the names, one, Austin Bryant, he full practice. He's out there. Gilbert, Jerry Jacobs is all back, full practice mm-hmm. all week. And DeAndre Swift, full practice on Friday today. So looks like they're going to be in the game for us.
Your guy, Jerry Jacobs, by the way, did not play badly against the Steelers at all.
I love this kid. He is so much. Right there. You can't really see it in the darkness. There's a football that he sent. He signed it, and he's got that. When we interviewed him, he was like, never give up, man. Don't let people tell you. Don't ever let yourself go. Never give up. When he signed it, he put never give up on it. He's got another one we're putting in the auction that he signed, never give up as well. There's something about that. And, we've talked about, I came up a different way than a lot of people. And it was that persistence and that grind and that kind of never give up. He's got a special place in my heart. Just what he's done to get to where he's at is really something special. And he's playing as good as an undrafted free agent as Jeff Okuda did as a rookie third overall pick. We've really got a gem in this kid. I'm so happy with Jerry.
Chris, there's something about being hungry and getting your opportunity and trying to prove that you belong. And I think that's what Jerry Jacobs has done. And he got love on the television broadcast as well, which was great to see.
Yeah.
And I think Jerry Jacobs, like you said, is a keeper. He's a guy that hopefully in the coming years, as the Lions start to rebuild their roster and hopefully the team improves, that he's a guy who could be one of those building blocks, one of those cornerstones for the Lions as they continue this rebuild.
Yep. There's three things to somebody stepping up to a job. There's three pieces, mm-hmm. competence, motivation, and opportunity. And Absolutely. All three of those things came together for him at exactly the right time. And he's shown that he's got the competence to do that. And he's growing every week. He hasn't had a backslide week. You know what I mean? And usually with these young guys, especially the cornerback, it's such a difficult position to play.
Yep.
You'll play a great week and then you have a tough week. And especially in your first year, he's just continued this upward trend. He's an anomaly. He's amazing.
And this will be a good challenge this week for him, Chris, because not only does he have to get ready to face the Browns, but he's also got to get ready to face the Chicago Bears, too. And as we saw the first time the Lions and Bears met, they do have a set of pretty good wide receivers. Both of these teams, in fact, even without Odell Beckham as part of the picture in Cleveland, both of these teams have a really, really good set of wide receivers.
Can we talk really quick about the Rams and OBJ, the LA steamer now? I'm thinking he's...
I'm remembering that one.
So we watched him sit in the sidelines. He played a little bit, but not much because he was brand new. They had Von Miller, who didn't he didn't play, right? He watched the game as well. But the Rams stunk that game up, right? They just got...
What are you talking about, San Francisco?
Yeah.
San Francisco?
Yeah. So OBJ, he had a choice to sign with Green Bay or San Francisco. Chose the Rams, goes out there, doesn't see a lot of play, but okay, I don't expect that. But he didn't expect to get blown out like that against the 49ers. Nobody expected that to happen. So they have a bye week. Cooper Kupp was dropping balls like crazy. You know, yes, Stafford's number one. So now, you know, OBJ's in Stafford's ear, right? Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I ain't going to drop the ball for you. I ain't going to drop the ball for you. Get me the ball, get me the ball, get me the ball. You know, he's doing his OBJ thing. Mm-hmm. And Stafford's there, and he's like, oh, okay, we'll practice, we'll work on it, right? And they're going through the practice. They're going to go play Green Bay in Green Bay. That's a tough place, for especially for an LA team, to go play. They're just, you know, right. It's going to be cold. It's going to be all those things. I don't know that Staff is suddenly going to be giving OBJ, even with Woods out, giving him the targets that he wants. And if they come out of there with another loss and OBJ doesn't get his targets, you could start to see things very quickly come unraveled in there with that offensive group.
I agree with you 100%. And here's something that bothered me about that San Francisco game, Chris. The very first play, the very first pass that Matthew Stafford threw was to Odell Beckham Jr. Yep. The second pass he threw in that game was to Odell Beckham Jr. To me, one of the reasons the Rams offense did not look good against the 49ers was whenever he was out there, and he was only out there for, I think, 13 or 15 snaps at most. Too many times they either tried to feature Beckham or they used him as a decoy. And I think that threw off the rhythm of the Rams offense.
Yep.
Now they've got a bye this week before they go to Green Bay. So maybe they can work him into the offense a little more effectively and a little more smoothly. But I agree with you. This is a huge gamble for the Rams. And it's one that if they lose to Green Bay on Sunday with the rest of the division, with Arizona now starting to come back to the pack a little bit, yep, and with San Francisco starting to play better and Seattle, I know people got nervous about Russell Wilson, the way he played against Green Bay, but I think that's because of the rust. I don't think the Rams are going to run away with the NFC like a lot of people thought, or even with the division title. I think the Rams could fall short of the prediction of making the NFC championship game. It would not surprise me if a Tampa Bay, if Dallas, the way they're playing right now, if Green Bay, if Arizona, if one of those teams was able to beat the Rams in the playoffs.
And boy, does that look well for that that draft pick. I mean, think about it. We have four first-round draft picks in the next 2 years. That's a lot of capital. And the idea that, you know, you have to look at these things over time. Right now, this year, and you look at what's happening from the Stafford trade, we've obviously lost the trade. Mm-hmm. 3 years from now, that may be a completely different narrative. It could be very much a, we won the trade. It's just at what point and how do things pan out over time? If Matthew Stafford, and I'm not wishing this, but if he were to get injured in this Green Bay game and have, you know, miss 3, 4, 5 games, it really falls into our lap who won that trade, right? They have absolutely riverboat gambled this team to win this year at worst next. And then it's a precipitous fall from there.
And I think part of it is because of the fact that, A, they had that great run to a Super Bowl a few years ago with Jared Goff and haven't been able to repeat those heights yet. Mm-hmm. And B, and you know this, Chris, from living out there, Los Angeles is a tough, tough sports market. Yep. Unless you're the Dodgers, unless you're the Lakers, people don't pay attention to you unless you're winning and generating headlines. The Rams were winning and generating headlines. At least they were. Now, let's see what happens in the next few weeks. If they start winning again, people get excited. If not, they fall to the wayside. And you want an example of that? Look at the Chargers. When the Chargers were playing well, people in Los Angeles were talking about the Chargers. Now, suddenly, that the Chargers have started to slip back to the rest of the pack, and now they're no longer in first place in the West. Now it's Kansas City. How much do you actually hear people in Los Angeles or see or read anything from Los Angeles about the Chargers?
Yeah. There's the one thing that LA likes talking about the most is LA. And if they get bumped from the playoffs, I remember when Anaheim won, it was the first time they had ever won the Stanley Cup. It was the first year I'd moved out there. And I was stunned. I tell the story the same way every time because it is pretty funny. They won the Stanley Cup in Detroit, right? We'd have been celebrating in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Every station would have been covering it wall to wall. In L.A., it was like the 7th sports story behind women's Hialeah. It was like really? So deep. Yeah. Nobody even batted an eye that they'd won a world championship and the first ever world championship in Anaheim. I couldn't believe it. And you know, just coming from Detroit, I was it really hit me. You know, where the heck am I? And they are a fickle market. It is going to be interesting to see how things go there.
And we're not bashing women's high lie, but come on, you just won the Stanley Cup. That's probably going to get a little more notice than women's high lie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't even have a high lie joke. I don't know. Goodbye. No, don't Goodbye, do a lie. All right. So we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns, their injury look. You know, Jadeveon Clowney's had a couple of things, but he's practiced all week. Limited. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the game. AJ Green, cornerback concussion, didn't practice. He is out.
That's a big loss.
Yeah.
He's a starter. He's a starter in that secondary.
Yep, yep. You have Troy Hill, cornerback, also neck, didn't practice. He's out. That's two cornerbacks out for that team. Yep. That kind of opens up. Here's the problem for the Lions. Tim Boyle has a good week, and boy, oh boy, are all bets off on this team, on this fan base at least.
It's the Kellen Moore situation all over again.
Oh, God, that was torture for Riz, the whole Kellen Moore thing. The Kellen Moore Mafia still has him in on speed dial. wide receiver Anthony Schwartz is out with a concussion, didn't practice, so there's no hope of seeing him. Takaris McKinley and Donovan Peoples-Jones are questionable.
See, Peoples-Jones is interesting because he was the guy who eventually was going to get some of the snaps that Odell Beckham, some of the deep threat, deep mm-hmm. balls that Odell Beckham Jr. would get. If he doesn't play, that kind of limits the Browns' ability to go long in this game, go deep. Yeah. Although, as when we get to the matchups, that's not going to be a huge issue for the Browns based on the way their offense operates.
Well, I don't think it can be. When you've got two wide receivers out, and even if Peoples-Jones makes it, it's a groin injury. Mm-hmm. That speed, that deep threat kind of gets taken out just by the injury and the fact that, you know, groins are terrible, right? You don't want to, those, a lot like an oblique, right? Because you think you'll have it and it'll come back. You'll tweak it again. Because we know we have our oblique in the quarterback position. That's tough. And it does go to the position battle, as you talked about. We'll get to that shortly. But also two cornerbacks out, that changes the calculus a little bit for the Lions for sure.
It does. And that means there's a possibility, depending on the play calling, and we'll get to that, depending on the play calling, could the Lions actually take some more deep shots against the Browns than they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers? And again, it all comes down to how Dan Campbell feels. And let's clear it up right now. Dan Campbell has already said he's going to call plays this week against the Browns. So if you look at the way the plays went last week, 39 runs, 27 passes, I would imagine that the Lions are going to do that again this week against Cleveland.
And I'll tell you just, you know, one thing to think about as you hear about Dan Campbell making the playing calls, right? Mm-hmm. Play calls. Maybe you know he did the seating chart for the flight as well. He may have. That guy's an energy everything. They've talked a couple weeks about having headset issues on the sideline this season. He was out there in Pittsburgh testing the headsets prior to the game last Sunday. Think about that. He was out there, you know, head coach has plenty to do before the game, but he's out there making sure those headsets were working. I'm just going to ask, where was the last OC? There was no reports of him testing. Now, of course, he's up in the booth, right?
Right.
So he didn't get to see it, but he took it upon himself to see that that was working and that there were no issues and made sure to test that out ahead of the game. He's a guy that he looks at his responsibilities, lists out mm-hmm. every nuance and every piece of his responsibilities. And it's almost like a flight, like a pilot's checklist ahead of a flight. He walks down the checklist and gets it done. I don't think you were seeing that as much from the previous OC. And I think that's partly why he's doing a lot of this work, that he's taking it on.
But you know what? That was Dan Campbell, the player too. He made sure every box was checked. He made sure he did everything to get himself ready for the game. So Dan Campbell, the coach, Dan Campbell, the player, there's basically no difference in the way they prepare for games. And that's a good thing because you want that consistency from week to week. If you are the head coach, you want that to trickle down to your players and you want your players to see that. So absolutely, to me, that's absolutely a good thing that Dan Campbell is actually doing this week to week like that.
He is the most authentic practice what you preach guy that mm-hmm. I've seen in the Detroit Lions organization. I mean, you saw it with Stafford, you saw it with Calvin. They were guys, they went out and they weren't super loud, boisterous kind of leaders. They're different kind of leaders. But Dan Campbell is now the first time in a head coach that I've seen somebody absolutely practice what they preach, step out there and lead from the front in that way. And you compare it to the last regime with Matt Patricia and how there was, it was, it felt so inauthentic and so opposite of what you get from Dan. It's a breath of fresh air, and it does, especially in times like these when things are tough, it bleeds down to those players and shows them that all the way to the top, they haven't given up, and they're, you know, dotting their I's, crossing their T's every week to do everything they can to try to bring home that victory.
And Chris, think about this. Four head coaches that Dan Campbell either played for or worked under: Jim Fossil, Jim Schwartz, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, all have that similar type, all have that similar trait where they were the guys who took care of every detail. They made sure everything was done. The I's were dotted, the T's were crossed. They were guys who were like that. That is wonderful to see. And it's good to see that kind of consistency in a head coach.
Yep. Yep. That you, that you keep that locker room. That's a big exactly. question that people have had, and he's absolutely done that. Quick reminder from Floundericious, $250 match on St. Jude tonight on all your donations. If you hit $250, then he's going to throw a bonus, $100 on top to take it to $500. We've got, I didn't see, I think we're at $20. I'm working from memory here. Let's get that going. stjude.org/DLP. stjude.org/DLP. Let your dollars more than double. Let's say, what, two, three times, whatever the number is. I'm not doing the math on it. Your money gets bigger when you donate. So get in there and help the Christmas for the kids. And check that out. Also go to auction.detroitlionspodcast.com. There's all kinds of great merchandise. I actually have the next week off of work, so tomorrow we're going to put all those other extra new, more, the Jerry Jacobs. We've got a Hockenson jersey. We've got a signed Darren McCarty boxing glove. Whole bunch of really cool stuff going up there. So check that out, auction.detroitlionspodcast.com, and get your stuff. Get your name on your stuff. It'll all go, auction ends the 15th of December, so you'll have all your stuff by the holidays. You can put under the tree if you want.
Darren McCarty autographing something that somebody uses for a fight. Wow, I would have never suspected that at all.
It says Sweet Revenge, and it has the date of the fight. Yeah.
I've worked with McCarty before. He's a great guy. He really is. And, you know, the fact that he's helping out and all these guys are helping out with the St. Jude, it's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really cool stuff. All right. Let's talk about these matchups. I have mine. I alluded to it earlier. I'm going to give you the, well, you've got your own microphone, but why don't you take it and let us know what are the key matchups for you in this game this week?
Well, the biggest thing is going to be the two running games. The Cleveland Browns running game, which is one of the best running games in the NFL, led by Nick Chubb, against the Lions front seven, which got gashed at times last week against Pittsburgh. Najee Harris did go over 100 yards rushing. So to me, that's something to keep an eye on. The Lions have had troubles stopping opposing running backs in the past, opposing run games this season. That's going to be interesting. If the Browns can get rolling on the ground, that takes the pressure off Baker Mayfield, and it takes the pressure off that passing game, especially if they don't have Donovan Peoples-Jones out there. The Lions' run game is going to be huge because they had a season-high 229 yards on the ground against a good Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Can they generate that kind of offense against the Cleveland Browns? And here's another thing, Chris. If they can do that, it keeps guys like Garrett and Clowney from rushing the passer. And that's something the Browns do extremely well, is they put pressure on the quarterback. And again, you've got a guy making his first NFL career start under center on Sunday. The last thing you want to do is expose him to a huge pass rush from guys like Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. So to me, the two running games are going to be huge. And there's one other thing, Chris. One of the good things about doing news is that you actually get to talk to weather people.
Oh.
And the people at AccuWeather are saying that it's going to be raining a lot on the Cleveland area on Sunday, with the heaviest rain starting to fall around 12 or 12:30, which would be about a half hour before kickoff. That might limit what the offenses can do as far as the passing game and force both teams to run the ball.
Well, now your AccuWeather team has literally stolen my key matchup.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. It actually only makes it more interesting.
You guys are fired. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
You're lucky those walls are soundproof. I was looking at the two missing cornerbacks and Tim Boyle, and I thought about this. If I'm Dan Campbell, the one thing, Dan, you know, against the Rams, it was absolutely Riverboat Dan rolling the dice with the fake punts and the onside kick first early in the game, yeah. The whole thing. But he did that to keep them guessing. He surprised them. With the Pittsburgh game, he said, yeah, the stopping the run is your strongest part of your football team in Pittsburgh. I'm going to put an extra lineman in, and I'm going to attack it. I am going to run directly at the hardest, strongest part of your team. and I'm going to beat it. And for a long time that game, we beat them by exploiting the best part of their team. That had to just, their heads had to be just scrambled, right? That somebody would actually do that and then succeed doing that. Dan's a real interesting guy, and he really does. He pulls out the stops. I like the way he game plans. It's not, it's reminiscent a little bit, if you were to think back to the Bengals, remember, with all the trick plays in the 80s with
Sam Weich.
Yeah, Sam Weich. You never knew what they were going to do. They were just one of the craziest offenses to watch, and it was a lot of fun to watch them back then. Dan does, but not that extreme, but he really game plans these things in a way that other teams just do not expect. He does the things that they don't expect, and I really appreciate that. So that the thinking with that is they have two cornerbacks gone. You've got Tim Boyle. Nobody's expecting Boyle to be out there throwing the ball, right? Correct. They're expecting, especially after the Pittsburgh game, you guys are just going to run it at us, just like you were thinking. It's almost, I was thinking about this on Sunday.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. Do you remember the wishbone? I mean, that's kind of what we ran on Sunday with only a single back and a quarterback who couldn't run. I mean, other than that, it was a wishbone. And nobody expected the pass ever, right?
Correct.
This is the kind of thing. You're setting up Boyle to complete some interesting passes today or on Sunday. And I wouldn't put it past Dan to exploit the injuries and now the weather to surprise some people with some throws from a guy that he's your backup quarterback. You don't think he's throwing the ball.
I can't argue with that, because I think you're 100% correct. I think that would be the perfect way. You know, people expect you to zig and you zag. Yeah. People expect you to come out with the running game like you did against Pittsburgh. Why not use Tim Boyle? He supposedly has a strong arm. Why not use a strong-armed quarterback making his first ever start to kind of surprise the defense? And I agree with you. I think that may be the way Dan Campbell goes. Here's the scary thing about that, though, Chris. That defensive line is the strength of the Cleveland Browns. Yep. And again, they love to rush the passer. This is the same team that made Justin Fields' life a living hell when the Browns and Bears played a few weeks ago.
It wasn't so slow anymore, was it?
Yeah, that was ugly. And they would love to do the same thing to Tim Boyle. So to me, I agree with you. I think Campbell is going to come out and throw the ball, but ultimately they've got to be able to run the ball just to keep that pass rush off of Tim Boyle long enough for him to make some hay downfield.
And it's about the injuries. Does Taylor Decker play, right? That's right. One of the key pieces, I think, to doing that. Maybe the AccuWeather team can redeem themselves and knit a giant umbrella to put over the stadium for us.
Well, those guys are walking out. I just fired them, so sorry.
Okay. Hey, there's a job at the tailor down the street. I got pieces of the old Silverdome that he'd stitched together.
Listen, if anybody wants to be a weathercaster, we now have openings.
And the afternoon guy's in trouble.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the odds. This is fun. Odds, game odds brought to you by Amazon. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Odds are you're getting ready to get some holiday shopping going, and you head over to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com for all those purchases. Tony's told you. He doesn't like people. He doesn't like being out in crowd. It might have been me.
I'm firing people left and right. I mean, come on. That's how much I hate people, you know?
So why go out? Why get the sniffles? Why deal with all the other stuff that's crawling around out there in this time of year? Sit home, no pants on, the comfy of your chair, listening to the podcast, maybe an extra cocktail in your hand, spending a little too much money at Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. That link will take you to Amazon. No funny stuff. It just lets them know that we sent you there. And they take a little bit of that money out of Bezos' pocket and they put it in ours. It's a great way to help the podcast by doing something you were going to do anyway, especially now that you started drinking. All right, Vegas odds. Let's talk about this. The spread is really interesting on this one.
Okay.
Browns -12.5.
Really?
Yes.
I'm taking the Lions with the 12.5.
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
And then my long shot, because I am a long shot money line better. It's been my thing. Now sports betting has been open for 3 weeks. We've had an app here in Florida. And I've done, you know, I'm small bets. I'm just doing, you know, $2, $3 a team or whatever here and there. I put $100 in the bank to start, and I don't bet more than $20 a week. I'm up 25% so far. Just based on these crazy long shot money line jobs. Money line Lions +495. Now, see, that's a good return. You're five times your money, you know?
That's a great return. If it comes, see, I'd stay away from the money line on that one, though, because you've You have to bet that thinking the Lions are going to win this game. You have to be confident that the Lions are going to win this game. And unfortunately, you're talking about a guy making his first NFL career start. I am never confident that that guy is going to be the guy. I'm not that confident.
Against a team that many predicted had a shot at making the Super Bowl this year.
Correct. Right? And so, a team that just got hammered by the New England Patriots the previous Sunday by 38 points.
Yes, they got, and so they're coming back with a little sting, right? A little sting in their step. They want to pay back. And of course, the Lions are the ones that they're going to come in and abuse in their turnaround. But the Browns are -590. No need to put money on that.
Nah. Stay away from the money line, folks.
Yep. Over under, where would you guess that would be?
Considering the weather and considering the quarterback situation for both teams, one banged up, one making his first ever NFL start, I would say 43 or 44.
49.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Under, people. Yeah. Under.
Yeah. I think some folks have been drinking down at the book. They're never wrong, though. That's the thing. There's something going on here, right? That spread seems nuts to me.
Very nuts.
And that over-under seems nuts, but that's where we sit.
Wow. 12.5 and 49. That's crazy.
Yeah, in the rain with Tim Boyle.
No.
A boil on your back. All right, let's go to our Fanatics final outcomes. Fanatics at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Don't forget your jerseys, your hats, your lapel pins, your underwear, all branded Detroit Lions, but not just Lions. If you're a Michigan fan, you got that. You've got your Michigan State. You've got your basketball jerseys. You've got your hockey. You name it, the sport. The league, it's all there, and it's all the official license. Good stuff, fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. All right, Tony, here it is, all the pressure in the world. We have no foreshadowing in the first minute of the show as to who you think might win this game. What do you think the final outcome is going to be?
Chris, let me add one more thing. The Lions have a rookie kicker.
Oh. No more Santoso?
No more Santoso, who had a really rough day in Pittsburgh. Sorry. I felt bad for the guy. I really did.
I've liked him for 3 seasons that he's been in camp with the Lions. Yep. He looked really, really good. That first year in camp was, I will never forget watching him set up with the tee at the 50-yard sideline, right? And kicking it through the skinny posts time after time after time without a problem, just nailing them. And I'm like, this guy, and then he's punting. I'm like, he's a dual threat. He can kind of do both. He could be a backup for the place kicker. And I'm just like, this is a guy that there's some potential there. And I just hated to see what happened. I don't know what it was. It just looked bad from start to finish.
Part of it's the weather. And part of it was, especially the field goal he missed in overtime, having been the Heinz Field before, he was kicking towards the open part of the stadium. And the winds come off the Three Rivers at the open part of the stadium like crazy. If you think Soldier Field is windy, Heinz Field at the open end is literally a wind tunnel.
And it's like the Metrodome, right?
Exactly. With the same kind of chill. You know what? I'm never going to live that down, am I? It's even followed me to Wayne State games.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why the AccuWeather's team isn't there anymore. Yeah, really.
Exactly. I'm just telling you. Okay, they can come back. I lost track.
Sorry.
It's a wind tunnel, basically. Yep. So when the Lions won the toss in overtime, it's like I kind of shook my head. I'm like, I wish they had lost the toss because they could pick the open end of the field and force Pittsburgh to do it. But the moment they won the toss in overtime in Pittsburgh, you knew they were going to choose the open end of the field.
Why didn't they use some of that amazing strategy shown by Marty Morningweg years ago?
Oh, thanks for it.
Can you imagine the absolute meltdown we'd still be having in Detroit?
Dan Campbell taking
the win there.
I still remember Robert Porche's face that day. He did what? Oh, I love that. Look, they were able to score 16 against a similar defense in Pittsburgh last week. So I think the final score here is going to be 24-17. Excuse me. They'll make the extra point. 24-17 in favor of the Browns. I just think the Browns are too good. They need this win desperately. They're coming off a really bad showing against New England. They do get Baker Mayfield back there, which helps them out quite a bit. And I just think they just have a pretty good, if not very good, running game that I think is going to be effective against the Lions. So put me down 24-17 Browns.
Yep. All right. So I am still all over the under or the spread on this at 12.5. Take the Lions at 12.5, but my prediction doesn't reflect that. I don't see the Lions able to score a touchdown. I just don't see it happening.
Really?
Yep. I am with 3 field goals, 24-9. The Browns take this one this week. But I'm still betting the minus 12.5. Or the Lions with 12.5. Sorry.
I just think the weather's an X factor, the quarterback's an X factor, and the kicker is an X factor. I don't think the Lions will pull it off, but I think the Lions will keep it close like they've done all year. And who knows? Maybe this game, like Pittsburgh last week, Chris, goes into the fourth quarter with the Lions actually having a chance to win this thing.
Can you imagine? You want to? This is like the craziest timeline. The Lions walk in there, another weather game. Ball slipping, there's the mistakes. Boyle starting the game, and the Lions somehow eke out a victory. Just the utter confusion that's going to surround Detroit at both the quarterback position,
yep,
and just how did they win this game? like just complete. It's going to come unraveled for the fans. It's just going to come completely unraveled if that happens.
Chris, let me give you an even funnier scenario. The Lions could end up picking two wins in a week. They can beat Cleveland. They can beat Chicago. They can go from 0-8-1 to 2-8-1 in the span of 5 days. Now, granted, that's like throwing life chairs off, you know, a deck chair off the Titanic. But even still, it beats having to hear, well, are the Lions going to be the first 0-16-1 team? If they can win a game and get that monkey off their back, yep, that might help them out as well.
And I never considered the idea of a tie before the Pittsburgh game.
No, I never did either.
Right? It was like, oh, look, you just got to win one and it'll be okay. The first 0-17 stain never goes away. Everyone remembers that. You win a game, 3 years, people have forgotten it. It's like, whatever, right? That tie, that almost cements it even worse.
Yeah, it does. If you go 0-16-1, that's just, and look, you're right. People don't forget that these, you know, they don't forget that the Lions went 0-16. They don't forget the Browns went 0-16. I mean, that's kind of something that's hanging over this game as well. These are the only two franchises to ever lose 16 games in a season like that, in one single season, to go winless in a single season. People remember this. This is a game between the two most tortured fan bases right now in the NFL.
Someone do the numerology on this. Mm-hmm. We went 0-16. The Browns went 0-16. We tied a game last week 16-16, and mm-hmm. our quarterback's number is 16. Something in here with all those 16s. It's either an evil number or something. Some curse is getting broken somewhere. I don't know. I just need my astrologist to get in here.
Well, you know what? Listen, listen. I'm telling you what. The quarterback is no longer 16. It's 12. So all of a sudden, that breaks the curse. If you believe in curses, I don't.
4 years till the Super Bowl because they're all divisible by four. There we go.
Sure. Okay.
Madam Chris's line is open right now. $14 a minute.
Oh.
All right. There you go.
Psychic. I can't remember.
All I can think of is Madame Tussaud, but that's Wax Museum.
No, that's the Wax Museum. Oh, what was the name of the psychic? She used to have the commercials on with the 1-900 number. It was. I'm sorry. I'm.
Hit us in the chat really quick. Remind us who the psychic. The Matt was. It was Madam or Miss.
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo, that's it. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Miss Cleo.
There it is. Yep. Nick just hit it as we hit that. Miss Cleo.
Okay.
Yep,
thanks, Nick.
Thank you all. All right. Post-game show this week on Sunday with our man Sandman. We'll do that and have a pitch time. Tuesday is the podcast this week, not Wednesday. Nick Rodriguez, call me now for your free reading.
All you need is Dionne Warwick standing right with you, and that would be perfect. Used to do the commercials with Miss Cleo. It was awesome.
Yep. Tuesday, not Wednesday this week, we're going to do the podcast. Wednesday is that last night. Everyone's getting ready for family and everything else on the Thanksgiving holiday and the game. We're seeing if T.O. can join us. He's got to juggle his schedule a little bit, but we thought we'd get back to some old fun times with Riz and T.O. and myself. So we'll see how that goes. And then there'll be no post-game show this week because we're going to be eating turkey and probably having a little bit too much alcohol with it. So
probably
that's the way it goes. All right. Don't forget about Lions Nation Unite. Lions Nation Unite. Check it out. It's a great app. All kinds of fans hanging out, including some of your favorite creators. Us, Dos Dion, Micro Mike, all the coolest cats in the town are hanging out there and interacting with the fans. And Herman Moore talking about Lions, what's going on, and taking the analysis to the next level. It's a great place to go. Head on over to LionsNationUnite.com, and you can pick up the app in the App Store or Google Play. It's available right now for free. All right. TO, we did it. We are the super superstars. It's like we didn't take a bunch of time off here. We just
fell right back in the saddle. That's true. It's going to feel, it feels really good to know that the holidays are right around the corner. So to everybody out there, happy Thanksgiving. Obviously, I'll see you Tuesday, but happy Thanksgiving in advance. Let me be one of the first people to wish you that.
That's awesome. Thank you, T.O. Back at you and your family. Two guys back in the saddle in our bejeweled jeans ready to go. Don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get your action going on. As little as $1 a month gets you access to the Slack, which is in... without a doubt, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. Greatest group of people. You see Floundericious leading the charge on the St. Jude stuff. StJude.org/DLP. Donate away. He's got a big match going on for us right now. It's all those folks. They're great people. It's a great community of people. You definitely want to hang out. There, Riz, myself, everybody's there. Check it out. It's a fun time. Also follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. That's DET Lions Podcast. Hit that follow button. And AJ Ortiz 3. Get Tony follow. Let the folks know that the number one newsman in the afternoon is top of the Twitter where he belongs.
What am I going to? Chris, I'm hiring you as my agent. That's it.
At least a hype man, right?
There you go. Exactly. And AccuWeather forecaster, too.
Extra gig. Hey, heidi ho, rain fans. It's snowing in Detroit.
Oh man.
All right. Don't forget to hit the subscribe and the like buttons on the YouTube for those that are watching there. Thank you so much. Give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can show up in your little music player, which pumps it in your ears automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pans, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're almost as cool as Tony Ortiz, and we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.